Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, this is in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he's listing a bunch of other sins. Don't lust as they lusted. Don't be idolaters as were some of them. These are people from the Old Testament. So he's giving us these examples, as it says in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Okay, so we have these examples of people in the Old Testament who sinned. They sinned against God. They were judged by God for their sin. And 1 Corinthians 10 gives a list of all these different types of sins that that people committed, and the judgments of God against them, and the consequences that they suffered. And then it says, these were examples for us, New Testament Christians, living now, that we should be warned, and we should take, for our admonition, we should take a lesson from that. And so the one that I'm focusing on today for us to take a lesson from is murmuring, the sin of murmuring. So first of all, let's get a definition of what murmuring is. Murmur is, in the 1828 Webster's, a low sound continually repeated as that of a stream running in a stony channel. That's pretty interesting. So that kind of describes sort of like the sound that murmur is. But let's get to the definition of what it means. Number one, a complaint half suppressed or uttered in a low muttering voice. Okay, so we see this is a type of complaint. And it's a type of complaining that is someone tries to keep quiet or they mumble, these types of things. Number two, to grumble, to complain in a low, half-articulated voice. Same type of thing. It's a type of complaining. And murmuring is done quietly because the person is a coward who won't say it to their face. Yeah. You could talk about murmuring against God. Obviously, God can hear everything. But when it talks about, like, let's say you're murmuring against a person, if you're murmuring behind someone's back and you're trying to keep it low so they can't hear you, you're being a coward because you don't want them to hear you complaining. And if you really wanted to just get things right and you wanted to settle it, you would just go tell them how you feel. Instead of, oh man, I can't believe this, blah, blah, blah. And you don't want them to hear. So that's the thing. It's a type of complaining that you're trying to make it so people can't really hear what you're saying. And so it is a type of complaining. And then the Bible gives us an association with murmuring and complaining together. If you go to the Epistle of Jude, let's go there real quick. And can see verses on that. Oops. So of Jude, 14 to 16. Okay, so it's talking about Enoch. The Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Okay, so we have murmurers and complainers put together there. And who's it talking about? It's talking about these wicked people, these ungodly sinners that Enoch is prophesying against. And these ungodly sinners that Enoch is prophesying against are described as murmurers and complainers. So it's not a good thing, I can tell you that much. So murmuring is a type of complaining, like you said. It's murmuring when it's, you know, done low, grumbling to yourself. Well, I can't believe this, blah, 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 you know. and you do it to yourself, you think it's quiet. And what's funny is people will, the Bible is full of examples of people murmuring against God. And the people in the Old Testament, they murmured in their tents as if God can't hear them. You know, so this is sort of either you don't believe in God's omnipresence, that he can hear you and see everything and hear you, whatever you're murmuring in your tents, or you do believe he can hear you and you just don't care and you're going to murmur and complain against him anyway because maybe you don't think he's going to do anything. Either way, it's not good and it's a sin against God. But nevertheless, so this is why murmuring, that's what makes murmuring a little bit different from complaining. It's a type of complaining, but it's where you don't really want someone to hear. You're trying to hide it a little bit, trying to conceal it. So since murmuring is a type of complaining, let's dive into complaining a little bit more about what it is to complain. Let's go through some definitions and then we get some Bible verses that we can go through. What is it to complain? Number one, to utter expressions of grief. So you just feel not good and you talk about it. Say, I don't like the way I feel. Number two, to find fault. So if you were finding fault, you are blaming someone or something for your present circumstance. You're complaining. And you're complaining about someone or something and saying it's their fault. You're finding fault. Number three, to utter expressions of uneasiness or pain. You're complaining about my back hurts, my body hurts, I have a headache, I don't feel good, I feel this, I feel that. You know, physical pain in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, those types of things. Whatever it is, you can complain about a lot of different things. So to complain is to express your unhappiness with your present circumstance. Whether it be your emotional state, physical pain, financial problems, relationship problems, work problems, or any other circumstance you find yourself in life, you can complain about anything. And believe me, people do. People love to complain. And you know, living in America, growing up in America my whole life, all across the country, everywhere you go, people love to complain. And what's crazy is it doesn't matter the circumstance. Even rich people complain. They have everything they could ever want. Nice house, all the food they could ever want, clothes, cars, everything. And yet they still complain. Always find something to complain about. Up in New England where I'm from, people always complain about the weather. When it's in the wintertime, oh, I can't, man, it's going to be so cold tomorrow. Yeah, did you hear that? We're going to get a bunch of snow. I know. Couple feet of snow tomorrow, nor'easter. And then in the summer, oh man, can you believe how hot it is? Oh, it's going to be a scorcher tomorrow and all this stuff. It doesn't matter what it is. There's always something to complain about. Always unhappy, grumbling and complaining. And some people are just like that and they never stop complaining. Every day there's something to complain about. In fact, some people relate to each other. You know, people that go to convenience stores and stuff, they relate to people at the cash register. Oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. You hear about this? And it's like people, that's the only way that some people know how to relate to each other is through complaining. That's pretty sad. That's not the way that you should be relating to people, is through complaining. But you could complain about everything and anything. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you're rich or even poor. Poor people live in abject poverty, homeless people complain. One time, I was involved in the ministry doing street preaching, and we were giving food to homeless people, or we were giving one thing. We were getting a sub, asking if a homeless person wanted this sub, and he said, oh, does it have onions in it? No joke. A homeless person is asking if a sandwich has onions on it. It's like, dude, you're homeless. But like I said, it doesn't matter whether someone's rich or poor, middle class, anywhere, anyone can complain, and they do. And they can find anything to complain about, because complaining doesn't really have anything to do with who you are, what your social status is, how much money you have, or anything else in life. It just simply has to do with your attitude towards circumstances that are in your control or outside of your control. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens in life, your attitude will determine whether you complain about things or not. Okay? So you can complain about all these other types of things. And complaining is a result of thinking that the circumstance you are in is outside of your control and that it's not fair. It's not fair. This is something very common to a lot of people who are murmurers and complainers, is that they believe basically nothing in life is, you know, everything in life is outside of their control. They're just a victim of circumstance. Everything always happens is bad. Usually people that are murmurers and complainers, everything's always negative. Nothing ever goes right for them. It's always someone else's fault. It's always something that just happens. Nothing can ever go right for them. They can never get ahead in life, and on and on and on. And they can always find something to complain about because they believe they don't have control over anything in their life, which is a convenient excuse to never take responsibility. But that's another common trait, is thinking everything in your circumstance is always outside of your control and that it's always not fair. It's never fair. Life's unfair. Their circumstance is unfair. Whatever happened to them yesterday and tomorrow, it's always unfair. It's always not their fault. Complaining is usually tied together with blaming someone or something for your circumstances beside yourself. It's kind of tied together with what I was just saying. Complainers and murmurers usually are always blaming other people and other things besides themselves for their bad circumstances. It's always someone else's fault, and they have to blame someone else. And if you ever meet people like this, you know, and there's different levels. I mean, we all need to look at ourselves during the study, okay? Don't just try to think of someone else that you know is like the worst complainer that you know of. Try to think of maybe some murmuring that you've done in your life, and let the word of God work in your heart before you go thinking of others. But, you know, obviously some extreme complainers and murmurers pop in your head when you think about some of this stuff. But, you know, blaming other people is usually tied together with this complaining. And it's because it's an attitude of the heart. And if you're a murmurer and a complainer, you're always going to have this attitude where you're looking for someone or something to blame. You're already looking for it. So no matter what happens in life, boom, something bad happens. Right away, it's like this radar comes out. Who can I blame? Who can I blame? Who can I blame? Boom, I found something to blame. And then they latch onto it and they just blame. It's all they do. Blame game. It's that person's fault. It's this person. It's my family, it's my friends, it's my work, it's my employer, it's the president, it's the government, it's the Illuminati. Right? Blame everything and everyone, but except yourself. Because it's easier to do that, right? Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. And this is going to give us a good illustration of some murmuring and complaining, which could have been avoided. Could have been avoided. Matthew chapter 20. It is a beautiful day out here, I'll tell you. Down here in Texas. And if you will notice, I have not said y'all. I will not say y'all. And you guys will not hear me say y'all. So I'm just giving you a side note for that. All right, back to the study. Matthew chapter 20, read verses 1 through 15. Let's read that real quick. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they that had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. They murmured, complained, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? And by the way, if you study in the Bible, an evil eye means someone is covetous. That's what it's associated with. If thine eye be evil, it means covetousness. And that's what they were being, covetous. They said, well, how come, you know, they get as much as us? And, you know, and I use this verse in the video that I made against communism, because he says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? This guy is talking about, it's my property, it's my money, my business. It is my decision what I do with my private property. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about how he said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Yes, they did. Okay, so here's the issue. He said to them earlier in the day, will you work a day in my vineyard for a penny? They said, yeah, we'll do that. Get to the end of the day, and they go to get paid, and they said, wait a second, these guys didn't work as long as us, and they got paid the same amount of money as us. And he said, well, did I not pay you what you agreed to work for? And they said, yeah. I don't know if they said yeah, but that's what he said to them. And that's it. They agreed to work for a certain wage, and then that he paid them. He did not do them wrong. But they had to murmur and complain. Why? Because they were jealous. They were covetous. And they were thinking in their heads, well, man, if we came at the end of the day, we could have only worked 1 hour and gotten paid the same amount of money. Well, you wouldn't have known that. And by the way, this is harvest time. He's just running around trying to find everyone he can, whenever he can, to get as many workers as he can in there to get the job done. And he got those guys at the last minute. That's none of their concern. As long as he paid them a fair wage and what he agreed, then it's fine. But they couldn't stand the thought of someone making more money than them. And that, and if you boil down socialism, communism down, it is a system based on envy, jealousy, covetousness, because people are always upset that other people make more money than them, right? Always jealous that there's rich people and these types of things. So let's move on to the next point. Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Sorry, there's a truck driving by. And I'm in some pretty cool place. It's like a park. Kind of not really a park. There's some concrete picnic tables. Bunch of trees. Dirt road. And no one's been by here for hours and hours. But every now and then, some pickup trucks drive by slowly and wave at me. So sorry about that. Anyways, we're moving on now to Numbers chapter 11. But before I go to that, what we're getting into now, I got 4 points, and then we'll wrap up the murmuring and complaining part of the study about why do people murmur and complain. Okay, why do people murmur and complain? The first point is found in Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. So we'll go to that. Well, let me just tell you the point. Number one, people murmur and complain because they're unthankful, especially to God. They're unthankful to God and not content. But instead, they're covetous and jealous, just like we just read. But the people that were covetous and jealous that other people got paid as much money as they did for not working as long. People, if you are unthankful, not content, you're going to complain. And if you're unthankful, not content, usually means you're covetous. You always want what someone else has and you think it'll make you happy. If you only had what they had, if you only won the lottery, if you only won the scratch ticket, then you'd be happy. If you only had the same house and car and truck and bass boat as the guy down the street, then you'd be happy. But instead, since you don't, you're going to be jealous. And you sit here burning in your jealousy and your covetousness, and you're unthankful to God, and you're not content. Now, we're going to read here in Numbers chapter 11, how much God hates murmuring. So this is a really important section that we're going to read right here. Because God hates murmuring. Oh boy, does he hate it. Now remember what we started with in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. It said that don't murmur as they murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. So let's read here. Numbers chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 6. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of that place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. So what happened? These, you know, what's crazy is right after fire of God comes down and burns all these people, they complain like right after that, which is crazy to think. But you know, we can't think too highly of ourselves, think that we're better than them, because we're not. But it's pretty nuts. But what they say after is, oh man, remember all that good food we had back in Egypt? Now we got, all we got is this manna stuff. What is this? And yet, God had delivered them from hundreds of years of slavery, hardcore slavery in Egypt, bondage of working day in and day out in hot sun, physical labor, not being able to do what they want. And God delivered them out of that in a miraculous way. And yet, now, because they had to, God was sustaining them supernaturally with food and drink out there, because it wasn't exactly all the food that they wanted and that they're used to, they were complaining about it. Oh, we don't have all the stuff that we used to have, so we're not happy. We're not, and guess what? They're not thankful to God. They're not content with the circumstances that God had them in. And so they complained and they murmured. And they were covetous, right? They were coveting the type of food that they had back in Egypt. Instead of saying, you know, thank God that he delivered us out of hundreds and hundreds of years of slavery out of Egypt, supernaturally. And he's sustaining us in this wilderness. And if we just have faith, we're going to get to a promised land that's filled with milk and honey. It's going to be amazing. And looking forward to that day when that would happen and having faith and say, you know what? We have this right now. Might not be the tastiest stuff, but you know what? We're alive. We're surviving. And God is taking care of us and being thankful, saying, praise God, thank you, amen. No, that wasn't good enough. They had to murmur and complain because they wanted something more and something better. And we see this happens over and over again with the Israelites in the wilderness. And it happened so much, and it was so bad that only Joshua and Caleb ended up going in. That's how bad it was. So, but you can see right before then that, you know, right at the beginning, it says that when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. When he heard it, he was angry and he sent out fire and killed a bunch of them. So you could say, oh, well, that was the Old Testament. No, guess what? God still hates complaining now. Because what did we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10? Neither murmur ye as they murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So don't go saying, well, that was Old Testament times. God hates murmuring now still. Hates murmuring. Hates complaining. God absolutely despises it. Because you are blaming God. You're not thankful to God. You're not content with what God has given you. Whatever you have, it's never enough. No matter what God gives you, no matter what you have, it is never enough. You always need more, need more, need this, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. You always need to buy more stuff. You need to get this, I need more that. It's just covetous. And you're always looking at what other people have. If I only had that, if I only had that, if I only had that. Yeah, if you only had that, then maybe you'd be happy, right? No, you'll never be happy. Because your happiness and your joy doesn't come from God, doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Because if you were born again and you were living right with God, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. And when you have that love, joy, and peace of the Holy Ghost, when you're born again and you're right with God, walking with Him in fellowship, you will have that love, joy, and peace so that you will not be covetous. You will not be jealous. You will not be complaining or murmuring. You will be content walking with God. No matter what happens, no matter what anyone else has, you're not focused on that. You're focused on what God has given you and being thankful for that. And you're thankful every day. And just for being alive, right? And for being saved. You should thank God every day for saving your soul. All right, so why do people murmur and complain? Unthankful to God, not content, but instead covetous and jealous. And God hates murmuring. Hated in the Old Testament, and He hates it still today. Point number two, why do people murmur and complain? They have a perverted view of what is just and unjust. Instead, they see life as fair and unfair. Unfair is usually when something happens they don't like. And they accuse God for things being unfair, right? So, yeah, because in the Bible, it doesn't talk about things being fair and unfair. It talks about things being unjust and talking about justice and judgment. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust and all these other types of things. But it's talking about fair and unfair. People who can murmur and complain a lot, you'll hear that word used a lot. Well, that's not fair. That's unfair. That's not fair. This is fair. This is unfair. All these other types of things. Again, bring it up again, but in communists, socialists, they'll say that's, you know, this is unfair. And social justice is their desire to make things, you know, equitable. They want equality. They want a quality of outcome, not a quality of opportunity. But it's a perverted view of what is just and unjust, right? So, you know, if you have to start, if you have a biblical worldview, your baseline is this: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. There's no such thing as a good person. Everyone's a sinner. Everyone is guilty before God and deserves to go to hell. Okay? That's fair. That's just. Okay? That's the justice of God. Everyone in the world deserves to go to hell because of their sin. Everyone's a sinner. And so, if you think about it that way, anything that happens in this world that may be negative is, you could not say is unjust. Because since everyone deserves hell, anything less than that is better than that, is better than hell. You get it? Anything that happens in this life, better than going to hell forever, right? So when you think about it that way and you have a biblical worldview, you don't think of things as, well, that's not fair, and this person gets that, and that happened to this person, and, oh, people say, oh, bad things happen to good people. That's not true, because there's no such thing as good people. No such thing as a good person. Okay? And even children are, yes, they may be innocent in the sense that they are not accountable for their sin until they're old enough to understand, and old enough to understand the gospel and repent. But even before that, they still do wrong. They still have a sinful nature that does wrong. Straight out from the womb, they go astray. And if you have children, you understand that. They do that right away. Rebellion, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the Bible says. So these are just the facts of life. There's no such thing as a good person. No such thing as bad things happen to good people and all that type of stuff. Things happen, yeah. And it's, you never know why it happens. And again, that it's another good reason to read the book of Job and take that to heart, because Job was considered the most righteous man in the world. And God allowed all his children to be killed, all his money to be taken away, and for him to get boils all over his body that he was scraping the pus out of. And then his worldly friends were like, well, it must be because you did something wrong. Must be because of this, because of that, blah, 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 blah. And they were all wrong. And then God had to set them straight at the end. God said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And Job, in the end, had to say, I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thankfully, Job never charged God foolishly, as the Bible says. He never cursed God. Even though his wife said, curse God and die, he never did. Now, Job is the quintessential example of someone who would say, oh, that was a horrible things happening to a good person. But even Job was not sinless. He was not Jesus Christ. And he deserved hell, just as you and me and everyone else. And so you can't say those, God allowing those things to happen to him was unjust, not fair. Life's not fair. That's not fair. You are not the judge of what is fair and unfair. God is in control. God is the king. And he's the one that decides what happens and doesn't happen and who it happens to. And he decides what is just and unjust. And you have no right to accuse God of something, of being unjust, unfair, just because you think it is. The issue is that you are the one that has a perverted understanding of what is just and unjust. All right, we're going to read Mark 14:5, and then we'll move on from that to the next point. Mark 14:5. You know, I always think I'm going to blast through these notes, and I'm not going to have enough, and then here we go, 35 minutes later. Of course. All right, Mark chapter... 14:5. Yeah. Mark 14:5. You know, I forgot to shut these things off. All right, hopefully that fixes it. Got these notifications going off. Mark 14:5. Still vibrating. Hopefully it doesn't show up in the video. Man, I gotta shut that off too. I'll do it next time, okay? It's not fair. All right. Mark 14:5. Or I could say it's my fault. I should have shut the volume off. Alrighty. Mark 14:5. Sorry, I've said that multiple times. For it might have been sold for more than... Okay. So this is when the woman comes in and she had an alabaster box of ointment. She came in, broke the box, poured it on Jesus' head, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Right? Like these Pharisees actually cared about the poor. They didn't at all. But they're like, why did she waste this on... Oh, yeah, why does she waste it on the Son of God? It's ridiculous. But anyways, they murmured against her. They murmured against her. Why? Again, this is going along with the point that I said. They have a perverted view of what is just and unjust, fair and unfair. They were saying this is unjust. It would have been a better usage of this ointment to sell it and then give the money to the poor. And then Jesus rebuked her and he says, she had wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whatsoever ye will may do good them, do them good, but me ye have not always. She did what she could. She did what she could. She anointed his body before he was going to be put to death. She got to anoint the Son of God. And they're sitting here saying, oh, she could have given it to the poor. It's like, he's saying, guys, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm going to be killed and rise from the dead, and I'm not going to be back here. You're not going to have me with... I'm not going to be here with you physically forever. You're always going to have poor with you. And they're sitting here complaining, saying it's unjust. He's saying, no, it's not unjust. You're the one that has a perverted sense of what is unjust. And so they complained. They murmured. All right, point number three. Let's move on to the next point. Do not, murmurers and complainers. Why do they murmur and complain? They do not want to take responsibility. That's a huge point, right? They don't want to take responsibility for anything. Instead of honest self-examination and repentance, they blame others and justify themselves. We talked about that earlier, right? People who murmur and complain, you just want to blame everyone else and everything else. Blame this, blame that, blame that. Maybe even they blame God. And they're bitter at God, and they hold it in their heart, and they murmur. Maybe they're by themselves. Maybe they live alone, and no one can even hear them murmur in their own home. But they're bitter at God, and they blame God for the bad things that happened in their life. Can't believe God would allow this to happen. I can't believe God would let that happen. I can't believe God would let that happen. And you're just stewing in your bitterness, your murmuring bitterness. And again, this could because you have a perverted sense of what is just and unjust, fair and unfair, or maybe there's something that you should take responsibility for and you haven't. And instead of examining yourself and say, you know, is there anything in my life, in my heart that I may have wrong? Maybe I did something wrong and maybe I need to repent of something. Instead, they're looking for someone else and someone or something else to blame. Another person, blaming God, blaming some other circumstance. Instead of saying, is there anything that I can repent of? Is there anything that I've done wrong? Whenever something happens and you're in a bad situation, that should be the first thing you look at is, hey, did I do something wrong? Is there anything that I could have done to prevent this? Is there anything that I can do to fix this? Is there anything that I should repent of? Anything like that. You should always be looking at yourself first, not other people, not outside yourself. That's what a Pharisee does. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, 14 and 15. Luke 16, 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. They were talking against what Jesus was teaching. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So, you know, Jesus was teaching, telling them all these Pharisees, all these things. No servant could serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other. He will do one, he despise the other. He was saying all these other things. And you cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees hated that because they were covetous. So they started complaining, right? Deriding him, attacking him. And what did he say? Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. So this is one of the points that I was making here is people who, why do people murmur and complain? Because they don't want to take responsibility. And instead of taking responsibility, they justify themselves. So people who love to complain and murmur are always justifying themselves. Everything they do, everything they say, they always have an excuse for everything they did. No matter the wrong things that they do, they treat people wrong. They do things wrong. And there's always an excuse for why they did something bad. There's always an excuse why they treated someone bad, why they did something wrong, why they hurt someone, did something bad. It doesn't matter what it is. There's always a justification, always an excuse, never taking responsibility, and never repenting. And there's always complaining. And you can see that's a characteristic of a Pharisee too. Why do people murmur and complain? One, they're unthankful to God, not content, but instead covetous and jealous. Number two, they have a perverted view of what is just and unjust, instead see life as fair and unfair. Number three, they do not want to take responsibility for anything. Instead of honest self-examination and repentance, they blame others and justify themselves. And number four, last point, why do people murmur and complain? They are always focused on what they cannot control, instead of making the most out of what they can control and having the right attitude about things outside of their control. Okay, so first point. People who murmur and complain are always focused on things that they cannot control. They're always talking about things that happen. And I mean, they're always talking about it. This happened and, oh, I can't believe this happened and blah, blah. Oh, man, blah, 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 and on and on and on about these things that they can never change no matter what they do. And maybe that's why they like talking about those things and complaining about them, because they know that they can't do anything about it. They can't change it. And so, therefore, they don't have to take responsibility for anything, and it's a lot easier to just complain about those things. Right? It's a lot easier to blame things that are outside of your control. But they spend almost every day of their lives just talking about things that they cannot control. Right? Because all throughout life, there are things that you can control and things that you cannot control. And, you know, there's quite a few things that are outside of your control that you just have to give up to God and say, God, you're in control, and whatever happens, I'm going to have the right attitude about it. And that's the next part, is having the right attitude about things outside of your control. Okay? Things are going to happen, just as they happened to Job. Job had no control over what the bad things that happened to him, to his family, to his children, to his money, to the boils, all that stuff. He had no control over that. It was just allowed to happen. And his attitude of not charging God foolishly and not cursing God for what had happened proved that he, proved the devil wrong. Because the devil said, let me do this to him and he'll curse you to your face. And God knew he wouldn't do it. So he allowed that stuff to happen. And then Job ended up being more blessed in the end than in the beginning. But you know, when he's going through that valley of the shadow of death and these trials, he doesn't know what's going to happen at the end. And so he just has to trust God and say, you know, I know that when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows that when he comes out of that trial, he's going to be better for it in the end, even though it really, really doesn't feel good when you're going through it. So if you have the right attitude about things that are and situations that are outside of your control, then you're not going to complain about it. And you're just going to say, okay, well, you know what? There's nothing I can do about this. I'm just going to pray, not worry about it, not complain about it, and give it up to God. God's in control. And that's it. And so there's no reason to complain if you have the right attitude. That's all you need to do. You give it up to God, pray about it, and that's it. Nothing you can do to change it. And if there is anything that is inside your control, you do as much as you can to take responsibility and control it. But everything else that's beyond that, there's nothing you can do about it. So there's no point to complain. It's a waste of energy, and God hates it. Absolutely hates murmuring and complaining. And the last passage we'll read about that would be Philippians chapter 4. So let's go there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay, so, you know, we learned earlier about the first point about why do people murmur and complain, that they're not content, right? Not thankful, not content. And he talks about here, he learns whatever state he is in to be content. But he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. So this is talking about circumstances outside of his control too. Whether he's abased and he's hungry, loses a lot of things, doesn't have much, he's content. Or whether he's full and he's abounding and has some, maybe a little bit extra, he's content. These are, it doesn't matter if the circumstances, you know, are outside of your control, whether you're abased or whether you're abound, no matter what, you're content, you're not complaining. You are not focused on, I used to be abounding, but now I'm abased. So I got to complain because, you know, I was abounding, now I'm abased. So obviously I don't want to be abased. I'm going to complain. Well, it's not going to change your circumstance, is it? Is it going to make you all of a sudden abound? And God's going to hear you go, man, I'm really just sick of how all the stuff that happened. And he's going to be like, oh, you know what? I can't wait to bless you for complaining and murmuring after everything I've done for you and saving your soul from hell too. I can't wait to bless you since you complained. No, of course not. God is unhappy. He's sitting here saying, you are ungrateful. You're unthankful. I cannot believe that you are complaining. Yeah, you're not given everything you want every single moment of every day. So what? You don't deserve it. You deserve hell. I deserve hell. We all deserve hell. And again, that's the bottom line for all this is all four of these reasons that people complain are resolved when you know you deserve to go to hell for your sin. Anything less than going to hell is good, is better than that. Okay? So you want to resolve that? You want to resolve the complaining and murmuring? If you know that you deserve to go to hell and burn for all of eternity for your sins against God, which you do, and you really know that deep in your heart, and you're conscious of it, then anything that happens in life, you're going to be like, well, better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. And you're not going to complain. You're not going to be unthankful. You're not going to be uncontent. You're not going to have a bad attitude. All these other types of things will flow from that. If you have the humility, humble yourself before God and just accept what the Bible says about you, right? Accept the truth of the Word of God, and you're not going to be doing that. So if you understand that you deserve hell, Anything less than that is better than that. And if you just give up anything outside of your control to God, and you just have faith, don't doubt, worry, or fear, then you're not going to complain. You're going to be content. You're going to have faith in God. You are going to be thankful. And that's pretty much that. So one last verse, Philippians 2:14, since we're there. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So I just wanted that one last verse as the admonition. Do all things without murmurings. So no matter what you do in life, there's no need to complain. There's no need to murmur. God doesn't want to hear it. No one else wants to hear it. Trust me, no one wants to hear. Not only does God not want to hear your murmuring, no one else wants to hear it either. No one wants to hear you complain and murmur about all your problems and all these things that happened in life, and it's not fair, and blah, 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 blah. That's what lost people do. They go to the bar, right? This is what happens, especially people that are older, middle-aged people. They're in some gross bar, sitting there drinking, getting drunk, and what do? Complain. Complain about their life and their family and their spouse and their job and this and that. And oh, I could have been somebody and I did this and da-da-da-da-da. It's miserable. Miserable. So if we're saved, that's not how you should be living. You should have a testimony of being content, being at peace, being thankful, never complaining no matter what happens. And people will notice it. You go through all kinds of crazy stuff and trials, and people are like, I never heard them complain one time. I've never heard them complain. You know? And maybe if you have, then repent of it. Ask for forgiveness from God and put it behind you. Okay? Alrighty, so that's the study on murmuring and complaining. Now, if you have stayed this